From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Dr. Bruce Lipton joins us. The biology of belief. Well, consumer product recalls, very important, so here we go. A national recall for deadly bassinets that can suffocate babies has now been expanded in the wake of a probe by the Illinois Attorney General. Attorney General Lisa Madigan there said her office investigated the availability of the Simplicity bassinets at Illinois stores and found that some models were still available despite an August warning by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. She told the commission, prompting the group to expand the recall to include all defectively designed bassinets and not just specific model numbers included in the commission's notice last month. The recall covers the convertible close sleeper bedside sleeper bassinets manufactured by Simplicity of Reading, Pennsylvania, and sold by major retailers across the country and in Illinois for approximately $100. The drop side can detach from the crib, which can create a dangerous gap and lead to entrapment and suffocation of infants. Three babies have already died as a result of this. So I want you to know about that. Even if one of you has these bassinets, take heed. In his Republican presidential nomination acceptance speech, John McCain has vowed to shake up Washington and said he's prepared to reach across the aisle to get the country back on the road to prosperity and peace. He said his running mate, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, is just the right partner to help lead the charge and the change. Now, the lines are now drawn. Here we go. In Detroit, Kwame Kilpatrick stepped down as the mayor of Detroit after pleading guilty to two counts of obstruction of justice stemming from a sex and misconduct scandal that has plagued the Motor City for months. Kilpatrick also pleaded no contest to assaulting or obstructing a public officer as part of the plea agreement, which ends his role as mayor of the nation's 11th largest city. He'll serve two concurrent four-month jail sentences at the Wayne County Jail and pay the city $1 million over a five-year probationary period. Kilpatrick cannot run for elected office during his probation, loses his law license, and forfeits his pension. While some southeastern states declared emergencies and officials urging residents to head inland as Tropical Storm Hanna now heads toward the Atlantic coast, where it could bring high winds and rain from South Carolina all the way to Maine. Meanwhile, disaster planners cast a very wary eye to a suddenly ferocious-looking Hurricane Ike strengthening in the Atlantic. Ike is at a Category 4. Forecasters said it was too early to say if and when Ike might threaten land. Sea levels globally are very unlikely to rise by more than 7 feet this century, according to scientists, but that's still a big jump. Major increases, they say, would have to be fueled by a faster flow of glaciers on the Greenland or Antarctic ice sheets. However, they say, even increases substantially less than 7 feet would cause major issues for many societies. In a moment, Robert Felix, author of Not by Fire but by Ice, joins us and talks about some of these stories. The Food and Drug Administration has ordered stronger warnings on four medications widely used to treat rheumatoid arthritis and other serious illnesses, saying that they can raise the risk of possibly fatal fungal infections. Now, here are the drugs if you're taking them: Enbrel, Remicade, Humira, and Cimzia. They work by suppressing the immune system to keep it from attacking the body. For patients with rheumatoid arthritis, the treatment provides relief from swollen and painful joints, but it's a possible double-edged sword, according to the FDA. That's because the drugs also lower the body's defenses to various kinds of infections. So if you're on these drugs, call your doctor. You might not even be aware, or she, of this FDA warning. A man has been arrested in Queens, New York, facing charges that he killed another man by punching him in the face with extreme force. The 66-year-old victim, Nick Nerwillo, was escorting a neighborhood woman home because she was a little frightened by some stranger who was hanging around out there. Well, at some point, Nerwillo was confronted by this stranger and was hit several times, with the last one being a punch in the face. He collapsed to the ground, died at a hospital a short time later. The driver of a school bus that circled Brooklyn for nearly 5 hours while carrying about a dozen young kindergartners and first graders has been suspended. Authorities say the 53-year-old driver claimed that he had gotten lost while ferrying the children from the charter school to their homes. 4 years into a 10-year journey to reach a comet, the European spacecraft Rosetta is scheduled for a key bit of sightseeing Friday, a close encounter with an asteroid named Steins. Richard C. Hoagland, head of the EnterpriseMission.com, DarkMission.net, and our science advisor, he's been monitoring this one. Hey, Richard, how are you?
Good evening, George. Pretty well, thank you.
Excellent. Now, tell me a little bit about the Rosetta.
Well, the Rosetta spacecraft was launched several years ago by the European Space Agency on a multi-year mission. In fact, it's not going to arrive, or it's really going until 2014, circling a comet. It's going to be put into orbit around a comet called 67P, meaning it was discovered in 1967, and it's the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, P comet discovered in that year. But en route, it goes past a couple of asteroids. And tomorrow's encounter, which is going to be around 500 miles distant, passing at several miles per second, is going to be the first of these encounters. It's about a six-mile chunk of a regular something. One thing we know from past experience, George, is that when we get close-ups of these so-called asteroids, they're all supposed to be made of the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're all different.
They are different. That's true.
So is it going to be like the Japanese encounter, which showed us this weird, pebbly, rubbly surface? Will it be smooth? Will it be irregular? Will it be more proof that Tom Van Flandern and I are right and that asteroids are really fragments of the exploded planet that blew up 65 million years ago, showering shrapnel all over the solar system and leaving the asteroid belt? Stay tuned, because we're going to find out. The actual pictures will be downlinked at a special ESA press conference on Saturday morning at dawn here in the Mountain State. So I guess I know what I'm going to be doing.
You're going to be up all night. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, George.
Richard C. Hoagland. Hey, a man known for selling flying and flashing toys that have prompted UFO reports has been arrested for a more earthbound problem, apparently faking torn trousers. The 52-year-old man was arrested for investigation of attempted grand theft. Now, this is what he'd been trying to do. He's trying to get a local restaurant to reimburse him, claiming that he had damaged his designer pants in a fall in the restroom. He claimed the trousers were part of a suit valued between $500 and $1,800. Now, when the restaurant's manager called a clothing store to verify the value of the pants, he was told that a Home Depot in Irvine, California, had made a similar call because the individual was trying to get that store to pay for his trousers. The man is known locally for selling radio-controlled toy saucers with flying lights. A prisoner on death row in Texas is to have his body turned into fish food and fed to the goldfish. Gene Hethorn, 47 years old, has given his consent to an artist to use his body as an art installation as part of a project on capital punishment. Should Hethorn's final appeal fail, the artist would deep freeze his body and then turn it into fish food, which visitors at the exhibition could then feed to goldfish. Hethorn was convicted of killing his father, stepmother, and stepbrother in 1985. In a moment, Robert Felix joins us. We're going to talk a little bit about what he believes is an ice age that we are now in, rising sea levels, and just all this strange weather. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. Here he is, Robert Felix, author of Not by Fire, But by Ice, with us as we talk about these weather patterns. The rising sea levels are talking about a little less than 7 feet by 2100. Mr. Felix, how are you?
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Lots of things going on in the world of weather these days, huh?
When there is, but you know, when you started out by talking about rising sea level, that just makes me boil a little bit. Because,
literally.
Yeah, the sea level is not rising. I mean, the...
Where were they getting this then?
These are coming from their computer models. But models are different than what is really happening in the real world. There is a Dr. Nils Axel Mörner. And he has been, he's past president of the Inquart Commission on Sea Level Changes and Coastal Evolution. He was leader of the Maldives Sea Level Project. He's been studying sea level and its effects on coastal areas for 35 years. He says that the claim that sea level is rising is a total fraud. And that's being pretty clear, I would say. But this is a guy who has devoted his life to it. He took his thesis in 1969 and has devoted his career for 35 years to sea level. It's not rising.
That's interesting. See, they say that the current rise is 3 millimeters a year. The sea is rising at that rate. So I don't know where they keep, you know, these models. Somebody's out there with a ruler, huh?
People are measuring it in different ways. There have been occasions, certainly, where the sea level rise has been recorded when, in fact, the land was sinking. Because land rises and falls all the time, and you have to be careful about whose number. So anyway, when I hear that, but even with your figure at 3 millimeters a year, it's sure not going to rise 7 feet in 100 years. But plus, I'm seeing snow start to accumulate. And there's only one place for that snow and ice to accumulate from. That comes from the seas. I think we'll be seeing sea levels lowering very soon.
Yesterday, part of an ice shelf broke off. They said the size of Manhattan. What's causing, you know, and they're talking about global warming, and of course you and I agree that if things are warming up, it's not by man. But what's causing these ice shelves to break off and to float away?
Okay, let's be clear as to which ones are breaking, because the ice sheets in Antarctica are growing. In the Arctic, in the north, apparently the ice is melting. I suspect all of the information I get, but as near as I can tell, the ice in the Arctic Ocean is melting, and I think it's as a result of underwater volcanic activity.
That could be. What about a tilt? What if the planet has tilted a little bit more on the North Pole toward the sun, in the Antarctic down in the south is now pushed more out in a way? It's getting colder. Is that possible?
I guess it's possible. I don't think so, though, and I haven't heard of anything that has happened. Plus, I'm aware that when ice ages happen or when warming comes, it usually happens at both poles. So this is a little unusual that the Antarctic ice sheet is growing, I think, while the Arctic is
melting.
Shrinking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But you know, George, during the last ice age, and this is one thing that people seem to forget, during the last ice age, even while all of Canada or almost all of Canada was covered by 2 miles of ice.
Thick.
Yes, 2 miles straight up. But the Arctic Ocean had hardly more ice than it does today. No one has been able to explain that, but I think, again, that it must have had to do with underwater volcanoes.
Well, you may be right. I mean, there may be a number of underwater volcanoes in the north that are truly heating up. And, you know, we've always used the analogy of a slow steam cooker. And, you know, it's just, it melts them and they break off.
Yes. That's what I think is happening. Because, you know, I wonder how some farmer's tractor in Nebraska is going to heat the Arctic Ocean. I sure don't see any way that we as human beings are doing it.
No.
Anybody out there, I'm sure you have lots of listeners who have swimming pools, and I doubt that they would use a fan and blow a fan across the top of the water in order to heat that water. They got to heat it from underneath.
Farmer's Almanac predicting that this year, this winter in the United States is going to be a dandy. You agree with that?
They used the word catastrophic. I do. I'm really worried about it right now because of the sunspots.
The lack of.
The lack of, yes. There was an article that just came out last week that it looks like, well, in, during the last month, we only had, we had some, by some standards, we had zero sunspots. By others, we had a part of one. But normally, we get 100 sunspots per month. And when you go down to zero, that is a huge, huge difference.
What does that tell you? What's happening on the sun?
Well, this is it looks like it's just putting out less heat. You know, up until a few years ago, the sun was more active than it had been in 1,000 years, which I think it had to do with our warming. But now it's less active than it's been since 1913. During, I don't know how many people here are aware of little ice ages, but during the little ice age in the 1600s, we also had a period of no sunspots called the Maunder Minimum, when there were no sunspots for about 60 to 80 years. And we went into a little ice age. Prior to that, about, I think, 1300, around 1300, we had the Dalton Minimum and no sunspots, and we went into a little ice age, and there was the Sporer Minimum. So we don't know yet. No one knows whether we're going into another one of those minimums right now. I fear that we are. And if we are, we're in for a lot of trouble.
Do you think there's anything wrong with the sun?
No, I think this is a normal thing that the sun does.
Okay. You know, it's interesting, Robert. I've really never talked with you about the year 2012 and the Mayan calendar. But it's interesting that if they were talking about some kind of solar event, which I've said that they may have, all this seems to be getting close to this date. It's almost as if whatever happens is truly going to be some kind of celestial event.
Yes, I think it's going to be celestial, because I think that ice ages recur because of what happens with the Earth and the sun. You know, it's called the precession of the equinoxes. And for anyone who does, you know, I don't want to make people's eyes cross, but you know, if you could just imagine that our Earth is revolving around a long stick, let's call that our axis of rotation, and if you could picture that stick just sticking up into the heavens, well, our Earth is totally turning, always turning around, of course, every 24 hours, and is revolving around the axis, but it's kind of like a top. Whenever you spin a top, the top never stands straight up and down. It's always on an angle, just as we are, and it also, that axis of rotation always changes. It's always moving. Well, the same thing with the Earth's axis of rotation. Right now, that stick would point toward the star Vega, toward the star Polaris, the North Star. But 11,500 years from now, it'll point toward the star Vega. And then 11,500 years from then, it'll point back toward Polaris again. Well, ice ages correlate with that phenomena. So it definitely has to do with the sun and with our place in the solar system. All of it ties together.
Do you think the tropical storms and the hurricanes that we're having this year are the direct result of, again, maybe these undersea volcanoes?
I think they're a part of this entire ice age cycle. As we have entered into previous ice ages, volcanic activity has picked up. The earthquake activity has picked up, and storms have picked up. Now, and when I say picked up, I mean extremes. There'll be in previous mini ice ages, for instance, there would have been, as we entered into them, there were areas of the world that had the biggest droughts in 300 years. Then later that year, same year, same place, they had the biggest snowstorms in 300 years. So Yes, I think that these hurricanes could be a mark of those same extremes.
If you listen to Coast on a regular basis, you know that Robert Felix believes we're in an ice age now. His book is called Not by Fire, But by Ice. The cover, which I always talk about and have for a number of years now, is kind of frightening because it just shows ice going all the way up to a huge major city skyscraper. Robert, this ice age that you believe we're in, it's interesting because some scientists are beginning to think that we're going to have an ice age. They may not necessarily agree that we're in it now, but they do say one's coming. Stay with us. Robert Felix, our guest. We're going to take your phone calls with him next on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Dr. Bruce Lipton joins us, the biology of belief. We're going to talk about how our positive and negative thoughts affect our cells. It's an incredible story. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls with Robert Felix, Not by Fire, But by Ice. Robert, my daughter called me from St. Louis today and said that they were getting pelted with rain over the last day or so. So, you know, they must have had some remnants of Hurricane Gustav as it slowly died off and made its way. But, you know, I guess these hurricanes that die down to tropical storms and then just heavy thunderstorms affect all over the place, don't they?
Well, they do. I imagine many of the places in the South that had been having drought, I imagine that's pretty much over.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. I guess Atlanta probably got pelted, too, and they were running low in their lake there. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up, first of all, by going to our wild card line. David in Kentwood, Michigan, you're on the air with us. Go ahead, David.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. I just have to take issue with the point of view that humans really can't affect climate. I mean, the Earth is a huge, basically a solution. With the atmosphere, you know, being the less dense of the solution. And we put in all kinds of elements, new elements and existing elements in different various forms. And the one guy in his tractor statement just seems a little small-minded given the amount of rampant population growth and additional elements being added to the atmospheric solution. You know, to say that mankind doesn't really affect their environment too drastically would be to say that it's okay to feed your kids fish caught in the Gary River area or the by Gary, Indiana.
No, you don't want to do that.
Don't want to do that.
Oh, no, no.
So I would like to hear, you know, it doesn't matter if global warming's real or not real. It's can mankind affect the chemistry, the geochemistry of the entire stratosphere, atmosphere, troposphere, whatever you want to call it, all those layers. It's a chemistry set. Would you guys not agree?
Robert, you first, then me.
Well, I just don't see humans as having that kind of power at all. I think it's being arrogant to think we can. You know, I've been to Mount St. Helens in Washington State, which was a tiny, tiny volcano, and seen the amount of damage that did. And then I look at other volcanoes, and I look at underwater volcanoes, and to think that we could go up against nature in any meaningful way, I think is just not being honest. I think that the computer models are leading us very astray. I think that the earthly natural cycles far outweigh anything that humans could possibly do.
We had warmer times before we even had cars and factories thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years ago.
Oh, yeah, we had warmer times 65 million years ago when the dinosaurs were here. We certainly had warmer times just 800 years ago when people had populated Greenland. So It all has to do with natural cycles, earthly cycles, and solar cycles.
Now, there's no question man contributes, but does man affect anything?
I don't think so.
All right. Let's move on to Bryant, driving around in Alabama, first-time caller. Hey, Bryant, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. Sure. First time ever getting to call in. I listen to you every night in my truck. No matter what your topics are, they always cause me to think.
Thank you.
I was wondering about asteroids and what effect do they have on volcanic activity. I know we have a rather large one that's going to come by in 2029. And, you know, the moon affects volcanic activity and our oceans and everything. What effect do those cause and change? Is there any correlation with that to the weather patterns and things changing?
Robert, I don't think the asteroids would affect it, but there is no question that the moon has affected things.
The moon absolutely affects. Well, the moon causes the tides, and I think there's an old geologist that I used to be friends with that has since passed away that I wish he were still around, but he used the moon's synergy and perigee and apogee, that's what it is, apogee and perigee, but times when the moon was closer to the Earth.
It sounds like Jim Berkland, who's our geologist, but he's still alive.
Yes. Well, I'm not talking about Jim Berkland. I'm talking about an old geologist by the name of Jack Sowers.
All right.
But he would calculate as to, much like Jim Berkland does.
Berkland's probably listening, going, "I'm still alive. I'm here."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about him, but I think probably the same way where we have earthquakes and volcanic activity that pretty much correlates with apogee and perigee of the moon. But when it comes to asteroids, I doubt that they're big enough to create that sort of a situation.
Even though mankind, in your opinion, doesn't contribute to the climate change, does that mean that he should spoil the environment or pollute the environment?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, all I had to do was look at the Olympics and see what was happening in China.
Horrible. Yep.
But, you know, I guess with that said, I, as near as I can tell, what Americans have been doing is we've been cleaning up our act for the last 30 years. And I think that we're hurting ourselves, telling ourselves that we are still at fault. And I do think there's some other countries that are doing some big damage, but I don't think we're doing that kind of damage anymore.
Let's go to Culver City, California. Olin, west of the Rockies, you're on with Robert Felix.
Yes, on May the 5th, 2000, all the major planets were lined up on one side of the sun in the grand alignment. Now, could all of that gravity on one side of the sun cause a tidal wave on the surface of the sun or cause an elliptical orbit of the Earth every 11,500 years?
A good question.
You know, I think that's a good one, and in some respects, it's real. There's a cycle called the solar retrograde cycle that returns about every 180 years, but it's a time when the two biggest planets are both on the same side of the sun in the same quadrant, and they pull on the sun. The sun does have a small orbit, and they pull on the sun and change the sun's orbit enough that every 180 years it goes into a retrograde motion. And every 180 years, for some reason, storm activity increases on the Earth and earthquake activity and volcanic activity. And when you double that cycle approximately every 360 years, that's when we go into mini ice ages. So, yes, I think your caller is onto something there. I don't know that it changes any of earthly rotation or anything like that, but it does affect the sun, which in turn affects us.
Let's get your definition, Robert, of an ice age, because a lot of people think everything will be under ice. That's not the case.
Not at all, and I'm glad you asked that, because a lot of people won't even notice any difference. During the last ice age, the tropics and the subtropics were only about, I think, 3 to 4 degrees colder than they are right now. The equatorial rainforest belt remained about the same. So it's not that it gets colder, it's that we have more precipitation in the winter. And that's what I fear that we're seeing. You know, in the last 10 years, there have been record snows in something like 30 different countries. So we're seeing more and more of that huge amount of precipitation. And, you know, there's one chapter in my book called 9 Stories of Snow. I think there will be, I don't know whether it's this year or next year when it's coming, but there's going to be a time when some city gets buried under snow. And there's not much you can do about it.
No, and it's going to keep coming and coming and coming.
Yeah, that's how ice ages begin. You know, some people think that the big glaciers grind their way out of the north, but no, it's called a snow blitz. You just have more and more snow. And I look at, I think it was 1999, the Washington Cascades had record snow. I mean, like 200% of normal. Then last year they had record snow again. So that's, I mean, they broke the record from just 10 years ago. Some of that snow in the mountains has still not melted. So I fear that we're headed that way right now.
Let's go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Justin, take it away.
Hello, George and Robert.
Hey.
Hi, Justin.
I just wanted to give my comment real quick, what I believe about the so-called global warming, you know, what I call like the myth. I do believe in global warming. I believe it's not caused by man, it's caused by nature, and I believe it's probably one of the greatest deceptions of this century. You got so-called, you know, know-it-alls like Al Gore and stuff that are propping up this false information about man causing all the global warming. I just don't believe in that.
A lot of scientists, Robert, are beginning to say that they, too, don't believe in that.
They absolutely are. You know, I have a one place on my website, iceagenow.com, but there's a one place where you can click on. It's called Dissenters, and you can see the names of hundreds of prominent scientists who absolutely do not agree with the global warming fears. I'm looking at it right now. There's geologist Dr. David G. There's meteorologist Joseph DeLeo, who was one of the founders of the Weather Channel, who thinks it's a farce, and another founder of the Weather Path, the Weather Channel,
John Coleman.
Yes, he calls it a fraud. There's an Australian engineer, Dr. Peter Harris, who says there's a 94% probability of global cooling. Dr. Patrick Michaels, he's a former Virginia State climatologist, he was an UN IPCC reviewer, absolutely says it's a fraud. So more and more people and more reputable scientists, PhDs in meteorology and climatology, are signing on to this every day.
Roxanne in Mount Shasta, California. Hi, Roxanne.
I don't know if I believe in global warming so much as global weather change. Where I've lived all my life, I've seen, you know, for the last 30 years, a lot of weather change. And I heard recently on your show and through a couple other places that Mount Shasta had glaciers that were growing on it. Well, I have a full frontal view of Mount Shasta, and there's hardly a dot of snow on it. So it's hard for me to believe that glaciers are growing on the north side.
Robert, have you said that? I don't think so.
I have said that, yes.
I can't find
the citation perhaps right quickly, but I've seen it this year, is that I forget whether there's five glaciers on Mount Shasta or seven. I think it's seven, and all seven are growing. There's the McKinley Glacier on Mount Shasta that's actually doubled in size since 1950. So they are growing. You don't necessarily see it because they're growing thicker. They're not necessarily moving downhill yet. And same thing on Mount Rainier. There's the Nisqually Glacier. It's growing thicker at the rate of about 18 feet per year, which means with that added weight that it will begin advancing probably within the next two or three years. But if you were just looking at it from a distance, you probably wouldn't see the difference yet.
Now, see, I'm looking at a picture from June 19th of 2008 in Mount Shasta. It's full of snow and ice. And a headline in the July 2008 USA Today, glaciers on California's Mount Shasta keep growing.
Yes. Now, every time we see an article about the glaciers growing, they act as if that is the only place in the world that is happening. But
she's not seeing this.
No. No, she's not seeing it, and probably the local newspapers are not reporting it. And a lot of reporters don't even realize it. I know that the reporters, for instance, in the Seattle area, they still think the Nisqually Glacier is shrinking, because it did. It was shrinking from like 1940 onward. So it's easy not to get the full information.
So Shasta's largest glacier, which is called the Hotlum, grew more than 600 yards between 1944 and 2003, and covers nearly 2 square miles of the mountain's northeastern face. So I guess it is growing.
It's growing, absolutely.
Next up, let's go to Marty in Omaha. Go ahead, Marty.
Hi.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Hey, I'm just kind of wondering about what we're supposed to make of these conflicting reports about, you know, global warming. Is it warming? Is it cooling? Is the Arctic ice shield, is it melting or is it growing? You know, earlier in the show you said that the ice sheet was actually melting, but about an hour and a half ago on a different program, I heard somebody else read a report. I think they said it was based from the U.S. Ice and Snow Survey or something like that, stating that the Arctic was colder this year than it was in 2007, and the ice sheet has actually grown 13% this year, or the equivalent of like 750,000 square kilometers. So, you know, it's hard to determine which reports we're supposed to believe.
Marty, that's really tough, you know. And going along with that, on my website tonight, I put an article on there that the Arctic ice sheet has grown over last year by the size of 2 Germanys. I mean, it's grown a lot. So far, I have not been able to independently verify that. I put it on there because it was on dailytech.com, and it seemed to be legitimate, and it may be. I just don't know I know for sure that the Antarctic ice sheet is growing like crazy, but the Arctic ice sheet, I don't know the truth, to tell you. You know, I see the conflicting reports too.
As human beings, what do you see as the most pressing problem we have climate-wise?
Climate-wise is the lack of sunspots. If this keeps on, we've got a disaster in the making.
Winston-Salem, North Carolina, we've got you, Richard. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen, and thank you, George.
Sure.
George, I've been working in the field of international development for the past 30 years, and in the course of my work, I've been traveling all over the world, okay?
Yep.
And I can tell you from my firsthand experience, in the first, let's say, 10 years of air travel, I have been looking out the windows over European continent, Asia continent, you know, and everything in between. And I've seen the atmosphere become continually more browner, okay? And as I just came back recently from Indonesia, the atmosphere all over the world is brown. And it didn't used to be that way, George.
Brown or polluted, is that or the same?
Well, I think it's the same. But you see, the thing is that the world right now consumes about 90 million barrels of oil per day, which translates to 31 billion barrels of oil each year. That's what we're consuming each year, 31 billion barrels of oil. Where is it going if we're burning it?
See, I don't think you'll get an argument, Richard, not from me, that we aren't polluting this planet. I mean, I believe that. Robert, you believe that. The big question is are we contributing to global warming at the same time? And this planet, without what you've just said, has been hotter, has been warmer.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we are polluting it, I agree. But what I'm afraid of is that we think that we're creating global warming when, in fact, we're headed into an ice age. And I'm afraid we're going to get blindsided because in many areas of the world right now, it's colder than it's been in 100 years.
The pollution may be a shield which helps speed up the ice age.
I'm not going to get in trouble by saying that.
All right. Robert, iceagenow.com, that's your website. How often do you update it or add new things?
Every morning.
All right, very good. Robert, thanks again, and let's keep in touch.
Thank you, George, for having me on.
Robert Felix, his website, iceagenow.com, his book, Not by Fire, But by Ice. I've got to tell you, I've had him on since my days in St. Louis, so we're talking about over 10 years now. And he's just a neat guy to talk to, but more importantly, he knows his stuff when it comes to climate. And he's not a meteorologist, by the way. He's not a scientist. He just decided to study this a long time ago. I'll be back in a moment with Dr. Bruce Lipton as we talk about the biology of belief, your positive, your negative thoughts, the power of consciousness. That's next.